Oh, see, now I don't know whether it's edited or not.
God, you're such a freak.
I edited this morning, but now I'm not sure that I've edited
it. If you edit it, Rick, obsessive compulsive, your stove is off. It's edited. Play it.
Hold on a second. Let me go back to the folder. All right. All right. Okay. Let's take this out in post. Hi there.
The night before Christmas, and all through the hood, ain't that was stirring. Nope, it was all good. The stocking was hung on my big fat. We was hoping to get some of that good from old Jolly St. Nick. The children were snuggled up, sleeping in bed. My bitch on my job, giving a holiday. When outside my crib, there arose such a clatter. I stuck my head out and yelled, "What the f*** is the matter?" Then a fat red pimp got out of his ride. It was perfectly clear. He was from the north side. Yo, Santa, what's up? Did you bring me some chronic? In Tangeray gin, I can mix with my tonic. Ho, 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 and opened his sack. It was stuffed full of endo. Had to take a step back. Is this for the dog? Did you bring this for me? To blaze with my home and my closest homie. He just nodded his head, his eyes about shut. It was then that I knew that St. Nick was. He ate all my mother cookies I left on the plate. Then he went in the fridge and he ate and ate and that fat mother ate. And when he was done, when the cupboard was bare, he packed his up and got out of there. Good night, doggy dog, he said from the sky. Merry Christmas to all you mother. And to all a good high. Merry Christmas
from the Dog Pound.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Well, that was an enjoyable totality.
That one was for the children.
Well, you know that whale at SeaWorld that tried to kill his trainer?
Yes.
He has a history of attacks stretching back to 1993. He tried to bite another trainer, the same one, during a show in 1999, and then another one back in 1993. We don't know what happened to that one.
How many bites of the apple does a killer whale get before you decide to take him out back somewhere?
Well, apparently this park is run by a bunch of liberals, and these whales aren't punished when they do wrong. They're allowed to continue within the show.
I'm not even going to say what came to my head.
Well, now that the holidays are here, we're enjoying pie, candy, and cookies in abundance. Eat as much as you want. But be warned, you'll die of pancreatic cancer. Cindy Moore works for the Cleveland Clinic, where all this bad news comes from.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Do I have to reload A?
Yes, you do.
Mm-hmm. Is this the same Cleveland Clinic with all Ks that is the source of so many great sound bites?
Yep. Fantastic. It's because every other clinic is closed down after 3 o'clock Eastern time, so the Cleveland Clinic gets its place in the sun.
The Cleveland Clinic and Clown College. All right. This is, she says you're going to die?
With clean copper clappers. Yes.
I'm sorry, Sarah. Can you turn my computer up?
Certainly, it's wise to be able to cut back on sugar in your diet. It helps not only to reduce your risk for pancreatic cancer and other cancers, but obesity.
Pancreatic cancer kills you dead, by the way. You'll die from that.
It is a leading cause of cancer death. So enjoy these pies, candy, and cookies.
While you can.
I have for some not so merry Christmas in your later years.
Merry Christmas, Tomer! Merry Christmas, chemotherapy!
Merry Christmas, George! You're going to the ICU!
Mr. Potter!
Well, to the distress of many residents in Johns Creek, Georgia, the Love Shack that sells adult novelty items is now open for business.
Merry Christmas, Love Shack!
And the Superior Court judge orders us to close, then we will close. Till the following morning when a federal judge will order us back open.
Fantastic.
Fulton County Commissioner Lynn Riley says they will fight to close the Love Shack.
Mr. Cornetta has opened the business without the appropriate business licensing by Fulton County, and Fulton County will pursue every avenue that's available to them to defend the rights of the community.
Put a sock in it.
Mayor Brodker says he's ready to close down the Love Shack.
Obviously, Mr. Cornetta's goal is to get his store open. He wants to be able to sell his wares and make a profit like any other business person would want. The exception being that this isn't any other business. This isn't a normal business.
Okay, well, there you go.
Meanwhile, the former boyfriend of Anna Nicole Smith has obtained a court order telling her to get out of the house by today. Emmett Knowles, the attorney for South Carolina businessman G. Ben Thompson, said he entered a default judgment after Smith missed a deadline to respond to a suit declaring his client is the rightful owner of the gated mansion known as the Horizons. Apparently, Smith moved to the Bahamas while pregnant with her nearly three-month-old daughter. She's remained secluded in that house since her 20-year-old son died under mysterious circumstances. The 39-year-old former Playboy playmate has claimed Thompson bought her the nearly $1 million house as a gift. He said, no, no, no.
You know, the thing is, she's such white trash with money, though, that you know, even though she's probably got access at any given moment to $5 million, you know that there will be footage of him kicking her out and her literally, like, standing on the curb waiting for the Ryder truck to come by, like, clutching a chihuahua under one arm and, like, a toaster oven under the other, going, I didn't wait for the moving man to come, like, smoking and, like, angrily spitting at the camera that's come by to photograph it.
Portland's free Wi-Fi network is set to launch next week, providing fast wireless web access in parts of downtown and the city's central east side. Within 18 months, plans call for serving 95% of the city. The network will be privately funded and owned by a small Silicon Valley company called MetroFi Incorporated, and they help to sell advertising on it. A version without the ads costs about $20 a month. They have plans for a formal wire. Oh, they're going to have a wire cutting at the Pioneer Courthouse Square next week.
All right, excellent. Fantastic. More news at the bottom of the hour from the Ministry of Truth. Yeah. Tim Riley, ladies and gentlemen. All right.
All right.
Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson with the whole. Let me find something that we can play here. Let's find with the. I got nothing. It's Dennis Pitzenbarger. Hello,
you have
sir.
Nothing?
I don't. Do you have something?
Even the Miami
yes.
Vice is on.
What have you got? Oh, there you go. Okay. I wasn't able to.
There's always something.
All the slots over here filled up with Bob Costantini noise and crotch sound effects.
Yes. Perfect.
So much the better. Ah, Dennis Pitzenbarger. Hello, sir. Weren't you just here?
I believe I was. You know, the funny thing is the music reminds me of a strange greeting I had this morning. I walked into the wonderful offices of CBS Office East.
Yes.
So I'm sitting there talking. One of the other salesmen walks up to me and he says, you know who you look like? You look like, and he sits there and he kind of ponders it for a minute and he goes, have you seen Superman Returns? And I was like, oh, okay, this is going to be kind of a nice compliment coming my way, maybe. I haven't gone bald, so I know I don't look like Lex Luthor. And he looks at me and goes, you look kind of like the Superman from Superman Returns. And I, at the very minute he says that, I'm like, okay, I'm feeling kind of good. I've been kind of trying to eat right and get back in the gym, you know, that kind of thing. Yes. And then he goes, but an older and fatter one.
Oh, bam. All right. Now, I was going to say, I don't really say that, but who's the guy?
That's mean.
Who's the guy that said?
Was it Paul Halama?
No. And then within the same breath, because.
Did he do that? I'm just kidding, dude.
Oh, no, he's... No.
Here's the thing, because the guy, and I'm not stalking my name in particular, but every office has this guy. Do you work with this guy? And everybody out there does. You work with this guy who will come up and just say the meanest crap to you. Just like the lowest blow. And they go, just kidding, sport. And like, that guy clearly just hates you. The guy who comes up, boy, you know, you look like I feel, dude. Just kidding, man. And then he like chucks you on the shoulder and walks off.
Does the little shoulder block when you're meeting in the stairs.
Yeah,
exactly.
I don't see that. You kind of look like the guy that is giving it to Lois Lane, though. What's his name? The guy that's Lois Lane's boyfriend, husband, whatever?
I don't know. You got kind of, you know.
You kind of look like that guy a little bit.
Well, the strange situation is that I don't even know.
You don't really look like anybody.
I haven't seen the movie. The only thing I've ever got is the dad from O.C., whatever his name is. I got that.
Oh, Peter Gallagher.
Peter Gallagher. I've got Peter Gallagher.
You do look a lot like Peter Gallagher.
If you had bigger eyebrows, maybe.
Yeah, but my wife trims those back. She's got a little mini, like, weed eater that she goes at those with.
Wife trims your eyebrows?
No, I'm just kidding. But it was funny because I'm also, you know, the thing is about this week, I'm very, very fortunate. I'm driving a brand new Porsche Cayman S, which is just this exotic sports car. And I mean, I'm blessed with it. I say all the time, I'm one of the luckiest guys in the world to be able to do what I do. And in that same breath, the wonderful Dean Snyder walks by me and says, dick. And just walks away from me. Like,
that's the camaraderie and the fraternal friendship that we have here at CBS Radio Portland.
You hear it from the other side of the building. Dennis! Is it Dennis driving that? And I'm just hiding.
Is that the one that I rode in when we went to the Lair Hill? The market? What's that? What you were driving that? It was like a week ago?
No, that was a GTI. That was, I mean, that...
I didn't really look. I just sort of...
No, that was...
I can't identify cars.
No, that was a little Volkswagen GTI. No, this little Porsche Cayman is just a little rocket. It's cool. And the thing is, you know, people who are Porsche fans are fanatics. I mean, it's like trying to say to someone who's a Star Wars fanatic that Star Trek is better. I mean, you just can't convince them. So it was just an interesting morning between that, and now I've had a flu shot, so I'm basically just pissed off at the world because now my arm hurts and I feel like someone has been feeding me like bad cheese.
Fantastic. Excellent. Let's see who this is, Buell. Hello, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Hi.
Hello.
Thought I'd like to know I became a citizen a couple of years ago.
From which country, ma'am?
Sweden.
Sweden, excellent. All right.
So I spent quite a bit of time studying those questions for a while, and I actually just sent you a link, so you'll have like...
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, no, here it is, the link to the citizenship. Now, you passed. Did you... What is the deal with the citizenship test? How many questions, roughly, are there?
Well, there's lots of... when you get the sample questions that I just sent you, there's like 100 of them, but when they actually ask you on the citizenship test, I think they gave me... small percentage of that.
It's like a driver's test where there's an X number of questions and they give you a chunk of them.
Yeah.
Now, did you pass on the first try?
Yeah.
Congratulations. See, Scotty J, born and raised here, and thought that the... let me ask you this. So the three branches of American government, Buell, are?
Would be judicial, legislative, and executive.
And that is a system of what?
Checks and balances, or at least it used to be.
Thank you. You're going to fit in just fine in this country. You are already an American. God bless you. All you need is to eat at McDonald's 5 or 6 times a day.
Well, I'll pass on that.
All right. God bless you. All right. Thank you, sister. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
There you go. In your face, Scotty.
I love it. Consume and welcome to capitalism.
A godless foreigner. She beat you on the question. On the citizen. Let's.
I'd be curious of how hard those questions are. I mean,
well, Dennis, it's funny that you asked.
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say except
you're not going to amount to jack squat.
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
End of message.
All right, now, he's typing on the screen. I never said I was smart. that self-image is really really working out for you there. So I think, this will detract us a little bit from what I planned on doing, but I really feel like this does scream out for not a pop culture face-off, but an American knowledge face-off. Sarah, how do you feel about that?
Between you and Scotty?
No, between Scotty and Dennis.
Awesome.
What do you mean, Scotty? It's just that's lambs to the slaughter.
He's younger than me. He was just in school, so he'll remember it.
He was just in school.
How old are you, Dennis?
Jesus, I'm 36, and if I went to college, it was only to score drugs. I mean,
whatever knowledge he had, he baked out of it a lot. He's got a pot leaf on his shoulder, for God's sake.
Yeah. Attention, HR. Oh.
I forgot about that.
Sorry.
It's okay.
And by pot, I mean the...
It's okay.
It's a fern.
It's a fern.
The beauty of that tattoo is the fact that I will always, and for the rest of my life, screen clean because I don't do drugs anymore. But, boy, those were the days.
Oh, yeah. All right. So, let's do... Should we...
Round circle with an X.
That ain't going to happen.
What are you talking about?
He's thinking of putting the no sign on my arm.
All right. Let's take caller number 5 right here. It's 5, and I'll just screen them in here. It's 503... 733-2975, and there's like a 9-minute delay, of course. I gotta wait for it. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. I'll take caller 5 here. And then what we'll do is, we will pick one of you guys to play for the caller, and we'll have at stake is a copy of one of the new Onion books, either Our Dumb Century, which is actually not so new, and Destined for Destiny, which is the pseudo autobiography of George W. Bush. In the meantime, so that's 503-733-2970. I'll just screen those in a second as they come in. Dennis Pitzenbarger, so I don't forget the plug. So what is coming up on the Fuel Show this weekend while I'm thinking about it?
The Fuel Show, we are going to do a full NASCAR review of this year's season. We're going to have Mark Spohr from NASCAR.com on to talk about all things automotive. I'll be reviewing, obviously, that Porsche Cayman. I believe Ian is reviewing the Acura MDX Sport Utility and all the regular little items that come along with the show. We do industry news and, obviously, automotive news across the the board. It should be interesting. And more importantly than this week's show, which I think is going to be great, is I have to pump next week's show, which is Roland Sands, which is a famous bike builder, and he's going to be coming in and talking to us about the creations that he makes. And if you go to RolandSands.com, you'll see what I'm talking about.
Fantastic. And this is the TV show is when? Sunday?
TV show is Saturday. Sunday.
Sunday, I'll get that right.
You goofed me up. TV show is Sundays at 12:30 p.m., and I am proud to say that my Nielsen rating was as high as NBC network television last weekend.
In your face, NBC television. All right.
Because they were doing an infomercial.
Hello, you are caller number one. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Sadly, you were caller number two. Let's all be sad. Hello, Rick Emerson Show.
Yeah.
Hi, you're caller number three.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. You are caller number four. And hello, Rick Emerson Show. Who is this?
Rick, it's Dave.
Dave, how are you, sir?
Good. How are you?
All right, brother.
Great.
I will let you pick who you wish to have play for you. Would you rather have Dennis Pitzenbarger from The Fuel Show and TheFuelShow.com playing on for you, or would you rather... Now, keep in mind, now, Dennis is, he's got a little bit of youth on his side. He's got a few years on Scotty J, but by the same, Dennis has spent much of his life drinking himself into oblivion and injecting narcotics into his brain.
Yeah.
So you got that. On the other hand, you got Scotty J. Scotty J, he is bright-eyed. He's got the spark of knowledge. He's lean. He's mean. He's hungry. He does live in Hillsborough, though, and he believed that the Emancipation Proclamation was, in his words, some kind of law or something. So who would you rather have play for you?
Are you not an option, Rick?
No. Oh, no. I'm merely the dungeon master of this particular game, sir.
You know, I'm going to have to go with Dennis.
No offense, Scotty. All right, sir. I'm going to put you right there. All right. I will ask seven questions. Let me just say Dennis and Scotty here.
Can I share that mic or this one?
Yeah, just you share the mic. You just use ring in. Dennis, Scotty J. All right.
I
don't fantastic.
Say Dennis just to say Dennis.
What?
Like, you know, like yesterday when I was playing against Sarah and I was calling my name without knowing the name.
Yeah, that's
so you can do that, but yes. Nobody else can.
That's the other thing is you can't say your name and then buy time by going, the answer to the question which you have just administered to me in the form of a proctor is the very obvious. You get this, answer it and just say the answer.
On the day of our Lord, November 30th.
All right. Question the first. How many stripes are there in the American flag? Did you read ahead?
No. He did.
Dave.
No. Dennis?
I know what it is.
I didn't read ahead.
You were back there going, all right, there are 50 stars.
No. Dave, you're just hanging tight here, brother.
13.
You read ahead.
No, he read ahead. You were back there reading it.
Let me ask you this. If I go back and look on your computer right now, am I going to see... Am I going to see this test in the history folder? If you lie, I'll know.
Earlier, and it was not that test, but we went in there earlier, and I didn't do anything with the flag.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
I heard him talking. I heard you talking. I heard you talking about stripes and stars.
Make him prove it. What are those 13 stripes represent?
Ooh, the different colonies.
There is no way you are.
Scotty,
there is no way. I do know this about
it. You're so frustrating. I'm going to his computer now.
Okay, Sarah. Okay, Sarah is going. Dave, I'm sorry you have to witness this unpleasantness.
Dennis and I looked at it before you said don't look, but it had nothing to do with the flood.
Shenanigans.
Yeah, totally.
Shenanigans.
All right, hold on. We're waiting while Sarah is inspecting the computer.
All right, hold on. We're going to look in the history folder. All right, Sarah's looking in the history folder of the computer.
Does it use Mozilla or
I don't know. I think what browser do you use? Don't lie. What browser?
Simpsons to say Mozilla. Internet Explorer.
He lives in Hillsborough. He uses Internet Explorer.
Okay.
Nobody from Hillsborough would use Mozilla Firefox.
Why don't we just give it to Dennis then, if you don't believe I
know. I want to make sure
that the playing field is level. Hello, Dave. I forgot you were there.
All right.
Sarah is...
I already said we did that.
All right, hold on a second.
You know, but
Sarah, what did you discover on Scotty's history folder?
That's so funny, because there's only one site up, and it was usgovernment.com.
I'm telling you, when the gal called in that Boeil...
Well, let's check.
That's when I looked it up. That's all. But I didn't, like, look at the... how was I going to know you were going to ask a
Sarah claims that she heard you saying the questions and answers out loud to yourself earlier.
Were you talking about stars?
Did I talk to myself? No.
Okay, so you're saying that I didn't hear you talking about stars and stripes in your room, that I'm making that up.
Are you calling Sarah Dillon a liar?
I don't know where she heard it.
When can I come by for my book?
Bam!
Okay, fine. I just...
You are a cheater!
I have nothing to do with
Scotty, you're not
going to
make a liar out of me. I heard you talking.
Okay.
did you or did you not read or study or otherwise become familiar with this question or the answer to this question earlier today?
No, not about the flag, no.
All right.
I know about the flag.
I have no
Boy Scouts.
I have no choice but to believe you. All right. So I'll tell you what, we're going to start from scratch. That question is going to be scratched. We're not going to start that.
All right. Let's
See. Here.
I didn't read that far. That's too far down.
Don't be smart. All right. Let's see. let's see here. What do we call a change to the Constitution?
Scotty.
Okay?
An amendment.
You know, this is totally like a hanging Chad thing. I just distrust all of this.
Dennis. Now, how can I read that?
Come on, Dennis. You're totally dropping the ball.
No. I knew that. I just couldn't
say.
Yes? Hello, Dave?
Oh, somebody nudged Dennis.
Hey, Dave, if it goes bad, I'll just buy you the book.
You shouldn't heckle. It throws him off
his
game.
Yes, Dave, do you want a book?
All right. Yes, Dave.
The cranky, I'm trying to help you here.
Cranky caller doesn't get a book.
That's true.
I'll just sit here and be quiet.
Thank you, sir.
All the way.
Well done. All right. What is the Bill of Rights?
Dennis.
Okay.
It is a, there's 10 pieces of, I believe it's the Bill of Rights. How else could it be? It's the
That's
Bill
of Rights. Circular definition.
Exactly.
It is the
Dave,
Bill of the
Dave,
Bill,
seriously.
I've never heard it explained better.
Scotty.
The Bill of Rights is a list of basic human rights that you have as a citizen.
Hold on. How do you feel about the defining the Bill of Rights as a list of basic rights given to a citizen?
I think that's okay.
Complete this sentence. Well, okay, the judges were going to ask a clarifying question. The Bill of Rights consists of the first blank to the Constitution.
The amendment. No, it's not the Fifth Amendment. That's
cinnamon.
What is it?
Quiet.
It's like he's saying cinnamon.
David, seriously, I'm going to put you in the penalty box. For the block, Scotty.
Do it.
I think he has it there. It does consist of the amendments, right? The First Amendment. Okay.
And democracy.
I would give it to him.
This is like judging the Special Olympics.
It's a wash.
Neither of you get that question right.
Really?
The Bill of... Sarah?
No, you go ahead.
The Bill of Rights consists of the first 10 amendments to the United States Constitution, among which are, for example, the first...
Oh, right to bear arms.
Well, of course... never mind. Next. Jesus. All right.
That was a practice question.
Is there a 70s muscle car category?
Yes. Is somebody trying to get his own show? All right, here we go. Let's see. How about this?
What's the firing order of a small block Chevy? Yes.
What is the job of the Supreme Court?
Scotty.
Yes.
To create the law of the land, basically.
No.
They're the final say for the United States.
Dennis for the law of the land.
You don't get a list of answers.
Dennis for the block. The Supreme Court is the highest court level in the
You are the king
system.
Of the circuit. What is the Supreme Court? They are a court that is above others, Rick. They are supreme.
Rick, I'm a salesman. I regurgitate the question to make it sound like the person.
You are totally. That's exactly. That's exactly what you're doing. You are doing that Zig Ziglar. What you want to do is you want to take the question they have asked you and you want to respond to them using basically different words, your own words, of course. But you want to use that phrase and just speak it back to them in your own manner of speaking.
And you can buy my book in the.
You are totally just giving the question back to me in different words.
That's how I passed college.
Yes.
I think I was close.
Really?
I think I get that one.
You're not close.
I wasn't close.
No.
I definitely get at least a half a mark on that.
For being supreme in your answer.
It's not a pizza. Oh. All right.
What is the job? It is to be the final word in any...
It's over. The question's over. The question is in your rearview mirror, Carboy.
What is the answer then?
Well, yeah.
The job of the Supreme Court is to interpret law.
Oh.
Yeah, you were. What's that word? Wrong on that. By the way, I want to note that I'm doing these without the benefit of the answers in front of me.
It depends on how you interpret the question.
Why don't you... Okay. All right.
That was a supreme question.
Right. Don't beat that horse too much, Scott.
We're going to do one more here. I'm really scrolling through here.
I know there's 50 stars on the flag.
Did Scotty know that?
Yes, I do know
all
that.
All right.
There's seven red stripes, I know that.
All right. Who has the power to declare... David?
Yes, sir.
Don't make me come over there. Who has the power to declare war?
Scotty.
Yeah.
The president does have that power.
No! No! You're wrong! I like you said it all definitively, too. The best part was right now how you just said that with absolute confidence, like you were just trying to sell it with your passion.
The president can declare war.
No! The president can...
I'm going to take a stab for
turning
the
turning into Tom Likas.
Listen, I'm going to take a stab, and I didn't say my name because I wasn't right, but I believe it takes an act of Congress.
Yes! Yes. The president cannot declare war.
And believe me, you would think that he can by the last few years, but it is Congress. Thank you. That's one for Dennis. Mark that down.
Hello, all right. Dennis.
I've completely lost track. David, we're just going to give you the goddamn book. I'm going to put you on hold.
You know what? I just ran down to Powell's and got one of my own.
All right. Zing. All right. You are a funny man, David. I'm going to put you on hold. Scotty J is going to get your information. The best part is you said it twice. Like, with absolute authority, like that was going to make it... No, Rick, I'm afraid you're... No, Rick, the president can declare war.
If okay. George Bush okay. could declare war, we would all be a nuclear winter right now,
I think
friend.
He did, though.
We'd be what?
In nuclear winter.
Jesus Christ. We'll be back after this. It never ends. The Rick Emerson Show continues next with Tim Riley from the Ministry of Truth. Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, please make way for Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Fast food employee Cornelius is accused of using a customer's debit card to pay for phone sex. Police have arrested 19-year-old Antonio Beveridge on charges of identity theft. According to police, a customer used the Cornelius Burger King drive-thru Sunday and later noticed her account was empty. We had a bunch of fraudulent charges that didn't come from me or her, said the victim's husband. The Mullins Bank, the Bank of the West, helped trace the missing $300 to an adult phone sex company that gave them Beveridge's cell phone number. Forest Grove police cited the 19-year-old with identity theft, but he hasn't been arrested. The team was still working on Tuesday, but the manager told the local news channel that he was suspended. Make sure you're leery of using your debit card anymore, said the victim. The couple was able to get most of the money back.
It weirds me out, actually. Every time I do this, when I go to the store and I use my debit card or my credit card, I make a point of thanking them when they ask me for ID. You know, if I go and they say ID, please, and I always make sure to... Because I'm astonished by the number of places that just... You know, do you have a debit card? And I hand it to them, and they go, all right. They ring it up, and they just give me the crap, and I leave. It's like they have no idea who I am.
Time for a Jackson watch.
Fantastic. Here's your Jackson watch for Thursday, kids.
Reportedly getting ready to launch a musical comeback. The King of Pop has been back in the studio.
We had the story 2 weeks ago.
But this is a new story.
It's a new comeback.
He could release his new album next year. Steve Barron, who directed Jackson's 1983 Billie Jean music video, says anything is possible.
He's an eternally talented guy, Michael Jackson, and he's done some amazing things, and he's got great taste and in music, and I hope so. I really hope so.
Billie Jean won 2 Grammy Awards back in 84, including Best Male R&B Vocal Performance and Best New Rhythm and Blues Song. The song was thought to have been inspired by a woman who claimed Jackson had fathered her twins. She was later sent to a mental institution. Director Steve Barron shares what Michael Jackson was like when he worked with him on the Billie Jean music video.
He was so sweet. He was 22 years old. He was so shy. We had a few discussions about the concept of the video before. He really liked everything that we were doing with the video and had some nice suggestions.
I have to say, when we were doing our show from the Move-In Studios a couple weeks ago, they played Billie Jean while we were in there doing prep, and that's still a fantastic song.
Yes.
Billie Jean is still... Thriller doesn't hold up front to back. Didn't that hideous Paul McCartney song on there?
Mm-hmm.
You listen to Thriller front to back, there's some moments that kind of clank now. Billie Jean, though, and Beat It, too. But Billie Jean is a fantastic song. It just continues to be a flawless piece of music production.
It was the Billie Jean video that that helped launch Michael Jackson to a new level of stardom.
No one had heard Thriller. No one knew who the new Michael Jackson was at the time. So we were pretty low budget, actually, for that moment. And they didn't deny him after that. You know, within a few weeks, that song went to number one, and there was no more denying. Well, what he wanted, he got.
Yeah, I remember the first time I saw that video, which you see it now, and it seems a little quaint because the special effects are a little cheesy.
Yeah.
And he's dancing on the light-up sidewalk or whatever. Fantastic song, though. All right, next one.
That is your Jackson Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is your Jackson Watch for Thursday on the Rick Emerson Show. Ladies and gentlemen, Tim Riley, greatest newsman in all of recorded history. Thank you, sir.
No, thank you.
All right. All right. Hello, Dennis. How are you doing?
Let me get this over here. I'm doing quite well. Airborne, by the way, is what I was thinking of.
This guy says, let's see, Chuck, hello, sir.
Hey, how are you doing, Rick?
Chuck, what's up, brother?
I thought maybe Dennis was talking about Ipecac syrup, which they used to make you vomit.
Okay, Viso, no. No, no. And when he was talking about Viso, in no way was he trying to describe syrup of Ipecac, which Scotty, by the way, has spelled on the screen as Icy Tat. I-C-I-T-A-T.
I was trying to say that the ingredients in that Viso that is like a refreshing drink is the same, and I noticed it, is the same basic ingredients that are in Airborne, except for Airborne tastes like ass.
All right, well, I misunderstood you then. I'm sorry, man.
That's okay. No, no, no. Viso is fantastic and refreshing. Ipecac makes you hurl. So there's the sort of subtle distinction between the two. Thank you, sir.
Bye.
All right, there you go. That's Chuck. Brian, hello. You're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Yeah, I was just going to let Dennis know if he wanted the firing order. It was 1-843-6572.
I don't even know what that is.
That would be my P1 listener, and that's Saturdays from 9 to 11.
Fuel Show, Saturdays 9 to 11. It's a fantastic program.
So. Anyone that knows the firing order of Small Block Chevy, I would imagine, would tune in.
All right, there you go. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right, there you go. That's Brian. All right. Well, here's what we haven't gotten to today. I know there's many, many things here.
I miss all the good news stories, too. Was this actually a news story today where a Catholic priest was not guilty for kissing students' feet?
Yeah, and Tim read that earlier, and I just restrained myself from... There was a pause afterward, and Tim sort of looked at me for comment, and I was just sort of kept to myself, and I was like, let's move on, because, you know, I don't want to get distracted by the foot thing again. But were you listening that we had the footeria idea?
No, see, unfortunately, as much as I try to listen, I get it in chunks. You know, I I always catch the open. Then if I have an appointment, I'm in the car, I'm on the phone, or I'm in front of a client, blah, blah, blah. I seem to have missed these great stories the last couple of days. I missed the foot whorehouse.
Yes.
And then I missed the feet, the Catholic priest kissing people's feet.
This was what we were thinking of. This was, and I know that I say a lot of times, like, I got a great idea. Like, we have this thing, we're going to make Scotty go pretend to be the Oscar Mayer Wiener kid.
Now, I caught that. That was good stuff.
Excellent. That's in the cards. We have the pyramid thing, which I don't want to have a chance to get to today. But I had this idea, and I say a lot, like, oh, this is the best idea I've ever had. This really is. It's like a glory hole, but for feet. And so, it's true. There's no better way to describe it. Look, I would try to use some other term, but what am I going to say that gets the idea across as clearly as that?
Now, what were the ideas that we had on what to call it?
Footeria, footopia, soul to soul, by the foot, or pleasure by the foot.
There was a really good one that we got toward the end. I can't remember it now.
Terrific?
No, you're just making
it up. I like soul to soul. I'll put my vote in for that.
You didn't like, it wasn't pleasure by the foot?
No, it was a really obvious one that somebody had sent in that we were like, oh, that's perfect. Because that was going to be the slogan, pleasure by the foot.
Oh, yeah. Oh, what was it now? Oh, Tootsies.
No.
Oh. I don't know.
I don't either.
Maybe I can only hold so much information in my brain. But we have this great idea, and here's the thing. Because as you know, I find the whole foot fetish thing to be really fascinating. Because it just...
Are you actually trying to come up with a plan to make some sort of foot whorehouse?
Oh, no, I have come up with the plan. I'm not... All I need now is capital finance. I need funding.
So what you're saying is you need capital finance.
Yes. Here's what I need. That's a little callback there. Well done, sir. Well played, Dennis. Here's the thing. Sarah and I have this great, I have a great idea, and Sarah latched right onto it because this appeals to many things about her personality. Here's the thing about it. There are a lot of guys who are into feet. They have a foot fetish, they have whatever, they like to rub feet or kiss feet or whatever it is. Chicks love two things, as Sarah put it. They love having their feet rubbed, and they love money. Is that how you put it? Am I revising it?
And chocolate and flowers.
And chocolate and flowers. And ponies and kittens and panties.
And rainbows.
Yeah. So the idea is you would have a business like a massage, and I don't mean like a massage parlor, but like an actual massage place. You know, a massage clinic or wherever you go. Where you go in, and it's like there is a wall, and there are little rooms you go into. And so the male customers go inside. They go into a little room, which is, again, a room like where you would receive a massage. It's got a door, and it's got mood lighting, et cetera. Down towards the bottom, there's an opening, let's say the size and shape of a cafeteria tray. On the other side of that is a woman in her own room. So you can't see her face. She can't see your face. There's no door that you could get to her. You know, there's no window or whatever. It's just an opening. You go in, you have paid in advance at the man at the desk or whatever. You give the guy at the desk whatever. You're $50, $100, whatever it is. You go in for an X period of time, half an hour, 1 hour, whatever you paid for. The woman puts her feet through. There you are. You got access to her feet for like 45 minutes.
And actually, you
45 know, minutes seems pretty long, though.
I thought you were being paid for it. You could do it in 15-minute increments like they do with massages at the mall.
But you got to remember, you can actually double dip because you can take money from the people that both want to pleasure and be pleasured.
Somebody suggested that. They said we could make it fully automated where women pay to go in and have their feet rubbed. Guys pay to do the rubbing. But Sarah pointed out that in a business like this, you want people to feel safe. You have somebody there. You know, you make it like in a normal normal area.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know how
you don't want to be all sleazy.
You don't want to try to explain to your insurance agent that someone got their big toe bit off by someone that was a little more aggressive.
That's what I'm saying. So this is why you run it just like a massage place where there's somebody at the front. You check in. It's not a hidden business. It's all very upfront. Because there is no business that caters to this, to the best of my knowledge. And you would have no shortage. Oh, that's my phone.
That was freaking me out. I kept hearing little voices.
No, it's my phone ringing.
Okay.
I hear that every
day. So you would have no shortage of women who wanted to be involved in this because, I mean, again, the women, we're not asking them to do anything untoward or, really sexual in the larger sense. All the women have to do is go in and get their feet rubbed or whatever. And the guys go in and all the guys are doing are rubbing the feet. Nobody sees anybody. It's relatively anonymous.
My brain starts to work when I think of marketing. I think that maybe now you've got the panel van and it's mobile. You pull it up to the office area. People come in 10 at a time.
We're not calling it happy feet.
People come in 10 at a time. You have the aroma of chocolate and flowers in the background. Maybe some nice music.
It's all about the environment, too, where, again, you don't make it feel like you're going into some sort of a seedy place. You make it very much, again, like a place where you go to get a massage. It's all very upfront. It's above board. It's all on the level.
I'm seeing it be mobile, and then you go to the office place. The women file out 10 at a time, put them in the van. And this one guy going up and down.
Any story that starts with putting women in the back of a van 10 at a time has a bad ending. Alan, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Yes. The name is Clubfoot.
Clubfoot. There you go. Clubfoot. Where Clubfoot, pleasure by the foot or something like that. Yeah.
Yes, I all love right. the show. Thank you. It's awesome today.
Thank you, Alan.
Right there.
There you go, Miss. Clubfoot.
Am I not pander to the clientele that we'd like?
Pleasure for the soul.
It might get some unruly feet there, though.
Clubfoot, pleasure for the soul. What?
Well, I mean, what if you're drawing the wrong...
You have no problems here.
What is Clubfoot?
You would have...
I'm saying, what if all of a sudden, like, 40 club-footed women showed up?
You have no problem here that you wouldn't have, and again, like a place where you get a massage.
So now,
you know? And those guys, they don't get any trouble there because they just make it known. They're like, if you cause trouble, we're going to beat you and call the cops.
So is it like a sign at a ride at Disneyland that, your foot can only be so ugly before we kick you out?
Clubfoot.
Isn't it like a...
I don't know.
It's like elephantitis of your toes?
Clubfoot is from Japanese women that used to put little smaller shoes than they should have, and then their toes would curl up underneath, and then
that's
it would just...
foot binding.
Isn't that Clubfoot? Same thing.
Clubfoot is the new place Sarah and I are going to open. Yeah, pleasure for the soul.
I think it's just some ugly foot.
No, but it's like, but Sarah is going to be the madam of the
really
place.
It's pleasure for the soul because we're letting creepy guys touch
it's for
other
their,
women's
no,
feet.
But it has, the soul has two different meanings.
Okay.
See, it's for their soul figuratively. It's for the soul of your foot.
So if you're the madam...
No, I get it.
And see, that's the thing is, the chicks could be as ugly as, it doesn't matter how ugly. They could be missing all their teeth. It's all about the feet. All about the feet.
Well, don't you think the guy...
Think about all those chicks out there that would be willing to do something like this, a job like this, but are maybe too unattractive, visually speaking. I'm sure they're beautiful people inside. All they would have to do is have great feet. It's like George Costanza being a hand model.
Well, I mean, don't you think there'd be a certain point where, you know, if a hoof comes through, I mean...
No. But you see, you're thinking about it all right. The girls are on staff. It's not like they're walking off the street.
No, you don't just walk in and stick your feet in the stirrups and some guy goes to town on your feet.
No, that's just...
Oh, okay. I was just like...
No. You apply there. It's like being a phone sex operator. You apply, they test you, you get a job, you try out, you whatever. They figure you got the goods, you go sit in a cubicle and you do your job for 8 hours a day. So it is here, except your job is sticking your feet through a little hole and a guy rubs them.
I got an Excel sheet. Let's make a business plan.
We have one more, and then we have to break. Alexander, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
There's no business like any business I know.
Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Thank you, Alexander. There you go. God bless you. There you go. Back after this, kids. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970, Solid State Radio. That's a phrase you don't hear too often. Hello. It's a Rick Emerson radio program.
Do you really?
Uh-huh.
Thank you for coming by.
We're afraid to use it because it's so old.
It just made me feel all stuffed up.
Anyway, it made you feel like one of Nate's dads, like, stuffed.
I felt like I was packed with sawdust.
Funny, that's what it tasted like.
No one knows anyway. Let's just leave it. Let's leave it unresolved. It'll be much funnier that way. I felt like I was packed with sawdust. Funny, that's what it tasted like. I am five.
Hello.
What I Did on My Summer Vacation by Rick Emerson. All right. Let's see. Oh, let's take this call real quickly just as an excuse to play this. Wait, hold on.
I'm all up in his grill.
Carol, our token Italian. Hello, Carol.
Hello. How are you?
What's up, sister?
Definition of a club foot. It is a deformity of the foot that babies are generally is when you find
out. That they deserve?
No, that they are born with.
Oh, I thought you said that they deserve.
Have to, no. No.
She wouldn't say that.
And so it is where the feet turn in.
Turn into what?
They turn in instead of your feet sticking straight out. They turn in towards, like, your ankles.
Do they turn into something cool?
Oh, for Christ's sake. to an engine.
Yeah!
We love you, Carol.
Okay, love you, bye.
Later.
All right, thank you. There you go.
Hey! I'm all up in his grill.
That's brilliant.
Nate, when we were in Wisconsin, we kept saying that back and forth.
Really?
We were laughing heartily.
Just the tag?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. All right, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show.
Postman is the person in your neighborhood.
Mailman Chris, hello, sir.
Howard, I can't hold on.
Yeah.
What happened to the machine gun?
Can you hear me now?
He was asked. He was told that the machine gun represented a poor image. It did not depict the Postal Service in a positive light.
It was demeaning to the Postal Service.
Yes.
Yeah, like you guys are going to get over, you know, the Seinfeld references.
Yeah, well, you know, Wayne Knight is everybody's knight in shining armor, you know?
Let me ask you this. Are there, if I were to walk behind the counter at a post office, are there pictures of Wayne Knight as Newman just sort of tacked up everywhere?
No.
Really?
I've seen one. I've seen Norm, or Cliff Clavin.
Oh, yeah. He probably is the most famous mailman in pop culture, isn't he?
Yeah. Except, for the fact that he was always in the bar in his uniform with his key attached. That's the key that, you know, we can't actually leave the post office, you know, with.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Is there a deposit on that? Like, what happens if you lose it? Because there's a set of keys here in the building, and I told this when Tim went to the top of the coin tower, much to his horror. There is a set of keys that one of the engineers has, Engineer Sean, that can... And I went up when we were doing Horns Across the Hawthorne to see if we could do a photograph from up there, and we ended up not doing it, but we went to the very, very, very tippy top of the coin tower, like right up to where that you see that steam coming out. We walked out of there, which is cool and terrifying. Those keys have a $10,000 deposit. If Sean loses the key to the roof, it's 10 grand out of his pocket. Is there a deposit on your keys?
I don't have to put a deposit on it, but I'm just not allowed to leave until I turn it in. And if I happen to clock out, which I've done, I've clocked out and realized it was like still connected to my pocket, man, they're calling me and saying, you can cut back here and you turn that key in right now.
Yeah, they'll come and they'll beat you. All right.
Lose the key? Lose a finger.
Buddy, you decided to take it a little easy today, and you had 60 push-ups, and you only pimped three items, and that was, is Brittany's business endangering you and your family?
I got to that.
Bob Constantini.
I got that.
And the worst news tease ever, as heard by Sarah.
Sarah, what was that worst news tease?
Last night I was watching America's Next Top Model, and I watched this middle-aged woman wearing shoulder pads say, the weather tonight, ice. Maybe.
Oh, makes me cringe just hearing it. There you go.
And you know, that's high concept enough right there. That's good enough. You got all three. 57.
Bam! In your face. All right, there you go. Thank you. And by in your face, I mean yes. Ice. Sarah called my voicemail. Are you watching the CW? A woman just said ice. Maybe. It's so terrible.
And she looked so awkward, and you can tell she did not want to say it.
Really?
Yeah, it was totally pre-written, and she kind of had the smirk like, kill me now.
And shoulder pads.
And shoulder pads and, like, mousy, like, brown hair that's, like, half-permed, you know, with, like, the really thin bangs in the front.
Yeah.
Are you talking about America's Next Top Model?
No, she's talking about whoever the woman is on the CW.
No, like, it was the teasers and the commercial for the 10 o'clock news. Yeah.
Oh, let's identify somebody. Her by name now.
It wasn't Jenny Hogan, was it?
No, she's on coin.
Oh, okay.
She's talking about a Jimmy Jam Jam somewhere. Man, Scotty, I think Scotty's just given up on getting Jenny Hogan on the show, by the way.
Real quick for you, you go into Canada, prostitution is legal in British Columbia, which Victoria is part of.
Fantastic.
Smoking pot's a misdemeanor punishable by a fine.
Anything else I need to be aware of? What else can I do?
Legal drinking age is 19. The beer is more expensive, but it's a stronger percentage.
It's totally stronger. Kokanee there is so good.
I'm just going to take my niece. This will serve my family right. This will teach them. I'll never get invited back again after this. I'll take my nieces and nephews out drinking and whoring. That'll teach my family.
And it'll be cheaper with the exchange rate.
Okay, and there we go. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Talk to you tomorrow.
There you go. There's Mailman Chris, ladies and gentlemen. Fantastic. Well, there you go. That's what they get for inviting me to the holidays.
Dimes on the dollar.
By the way, my wife just text messaged me from, Utah. And she says, I'm in Provo today because she was trying to get out to actual Salt Lake. This is how you know Provo's a bad place, when you're trying to get to Salt Lake City, because that's where all the fun is. That's where all the excitement lives. Just got reprimanded by a 15-year-old BYU student for saying hell out loud. And then she has just typed a whole series of profanities here directed at the 15-year-old. So it's the worst place ever. I get to go there this weekend. Dennis Pitzenbarger. Fuel Show, 9 to 11, Saturdays, right here.
That's right.
In this very studio.
Yep, and then the next day, Sundays, Portland CW, 12:30 p.m., the TV show. But more importantly, listen to the show here. And if you get a chance, pdxautoclick.com.
Look at that. Listen to that. What you sell, baby.
I'm trying. Oh, would you like me to sell?
Rick Emerson show produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970 Solid State Radio. Tim Riley is the news god. Dave Zinn is the manager of the Rick Emerson office. Ethan, of course, Scotty J is the PA. Like us next. Donna Mike at 7. See y'all tomorrow at 11. Scott Daly tomorrow, kids. As always, don't let the bastards grind you down. Thank you for listening. Be safe. See y'all tomorrow. Bye.
Come on.
It was just a little boom thing.